Hey guys, welcome back to this Watson chat room. I'm Sean. I'm joined here by my siblings, Craig and Louise.
Every week we upload an episode where we discuss either a movie or a TV programme, and we also take time to answer listener questions and catch up on our weeks.
Movies, question, catch up. Swanson chat room. Hey guys, I just want to remind everyone that we're currently doing a giveaway right now. All you need to do is these three simple steps. One, leave a five-star review for us on Apple Podcasts. Two, leave a review for us also on Apple Podcasts. And then three, email us with proof that you've done both the first two steps. And if you want, you can leave a question in the email. If you do all these steps, you'll be in with a chance to win a £25 Amazon goodie bag of your choice. So getting on, get doing it, guys.
Hey guys, welcome back. So we're going to start off by reading some of our five-star reviews from Apple Podcasts. So first of all, from Holly, thank you Holly, she said, a good mix of TV and film, something for everyone. Also love hearing the wee catch-up segment when the siblings chat about their week. After listening to the Groundhog Day episode, I gave it a watch and I can't believe I hadn't seen it before. So this podcast is very handy for recommendations for must-see movies.
Thank you,
Holly.
Yeah, thank you, Holly.
Groundhog Day is a banger.
It is a really good film.
It was. And I had never seen that one too before, so...
I'm sure you had when you were younger.
Yeah, probably.
Just can't remember it.
Didn't even remember it, yeah.
Yeah.
So another one we got was from Pete. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
A great podcast, funny, cheery, and to top it off, very informative. Every episode is guaranteed to be top drawer material, whether it's a TV series, episode, or a film. The Swanson chat room delivers all round, and keep up the good work. Wow, thank you, Pete. Thank you so much.
I guess we will just keep up the good work. I guess we'll just keep it rolling.
I guess that could be done, yeah.
Now that you've said it, fine. Okay, Craig, take it away.
Right, guys. So today we're going to be reviewing my film, which was True Grit. Had any of you seen this film before you watched it this time?
Nah.
I'd watched it once a long time ago, and then I was like, I just remember I had Matt Damon in it, and I was inspired by last week's episode of The Martian that I watched in our Matt Damon film.
We're on a streak, two in a row, Matt Damon.
Quite like Matt Damon, he's quite a good actor.
He's quite a lad.
Absolute lad.
So
he's quite weird in this one, but...
Yeah, he says weird things, but we're going to cut to the IMDb synopsis for the film. It is, a stubby teenager enlists the help of a tough US Marshal to track down her father's murderer. That's pretty much perfect way to summarise
the film. That's exactly it, yeah. Obviously, this one's like a remake from a film from the 60s.
Yeah, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I'm pretty sure it's a shot-for-shot, like, line-for-line remake. That's why the dialogue all sounds like so janky and weird.
Fair. Yeah, I think
especially the star, which is in the town.
Hold on, because there's a thing said it was slightly different.
I'm sure it would be, yeah, like slightly like, but.
And also, fun fact for the film, here's a wee random trivia fact. The movie was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, but failed to win any, and it went down in history as one of the most nominated films ever to not win an Oscar.
Oh dear. That's a shame.
Oh, no. That's like being like the sprinter with the most second places.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy, famously second place. Everyone loves the guy who's second place.
Nightmare. Yeah, Dad was saying that he thinks that this one's way better than the older one. I think it's to do with the acting in it. Maybe.
The acting is, yeah, but we'll get into the film.
The acting's really good. But as I said before, like I just think that because of the way like cinema's advanced and stuff, and like the pacing of stuff has changed, but obviously this is trying to emulate like an old style, so it seems quite jarring to watch.
Yeah.
Because like it just has weird pacing, and there's scenes that just have absolutely no meaning really.
Random
or, like, little shots and yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's just, it's nice though. It tries to like recapture somewhere from the past.
Yeah.
In a modern
so this
film.
One, it's directed by the Coen brothers, like the Big Lebowski and stuff like that. Quite famous directors. Hail Caesar, No Country for Old Men. It stars Hailee Steinfeld as Matty Ross, Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn. He's the marshal.
Yeah.
Matt Damon as the Ranger. His name's like LaBeouf, like Shia LaBeouf, but they call him LaBeef because beef means beef.
Oh.
Yeah.
They call him like LaBeef, but it's LaBeouf. LaBeouf. And then Josh Brolin plays Tom Chaney. Obviously, like, these are all really famous people. Like, Jeff Bridges is, like, is the dude in The Big Lebowski. He's in he's in Marvel films. He's a Ego in The Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, I remember.
And Matt Damon's also in Thor Ragnarok for a bit.
Who?
He plays a person. He's a brief cameo in a play. He plays the part of Loki. And Josh Brolin, he's Thanos, so like they're all in Avengers films. Yeah, they're all like big Marvel actors. It's just quite, maybe a bit of sense of scale.
Because in the movie like poster on IMDb, it only has Jeff Bridges, Matt Damon, and Brolin on it. I can't see his first name.
Josh Brolin. Because I think this girl Hailee is like a kind of a no name.
Fair.
Actress at this point, that she was quite young, so but no, at the same time, like, she is the main character, I would say.
Yeah, she's the main person.
Is she not a singer?
Is she? I don't know.
It was also
Hailee Steinfeld.
There's another weird thing about her was that she was nominated, despite having the most screen time, she was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, even though she is,
she's character. The main one, yeah. Don't know why that was odd. Yeah. But
and she's really good for like a young woman.
She is good. Plays her character really well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she is a singer.
Is she really? Oh. That's cool. Hmm. Weird. So the film opens with like a Bible proverb: "The wicked flee when none pursueth." Proverb 28:1.
Yeah, I just wrote starts with monologue. Yeah, it's just her saying this.
Yeah, the voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah, the starts off. This guy Tom, she says immediately when she was 14, this guy Tom Chaney
killed her father.
Chaney shot her father.
Yeah, and now she wants to, yeah.
And that's like literally the film is a straight line. That is the plot. She goes, someone killed her dad, so she goes to kill him.
Yeah. Or
capture him. Yeah.
So you can hang.
Yeah. It's like a very straightforward plot. There's like no messing about whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Which I think was nice though, right? Because the film nowadays, obviously they have really good plot twists and that. I'm not denying that, but it was nice just to have a straightforward film.
Exactly. It's just like, it is what it is. There's no pretending.
Yeah. It's very easy to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then she goes to this little town to identify her dad's body.
Yeah.
Yeah, she rides from the train to identify the morgue. She rides the... And it goes into really great detail to like show the world. Like there's parts where like the girl's like discussing the expenses for the funeral for her dad.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't see that in many films, but it's just really big character development.
Yeah. Like it just shows people like quite a lot of a high level of dishonesty and stuff, people taking advantage of people, especially because she's young. She's like in a vulnerable position.
Exactly. Mm. But in that discussion, you can kind of start to pick up that she seems quite intelligent and mature for her age.
Oh, yeah. She's like very capable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Later on, she talks about her mum can't spell cat.
Yeah.
But she's like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Which is quite, probably like the only funny bit in the whole film, but it's obviously not funny. It's quite sad. But like when they're hanging, she goes to the gallows to see these people getting hanged. Mm-hmm. And then there's three of them, and they let the first two guys speak. The
first two white guys.
And first two white guys.
Native Americans.
I would like to say one thing before my death.
Bag chucks over his head.
You hear him start to sing, and then they just pull the cord and just snap their necks.
But realistic of the time, then there's a couple of points where there's a point later on in the film where we'll leave it till we get there. But people keep on making remarks about Native Americans throughout the film. But Native American.
Well, there's a bit as well where she. And it's weird because when they get hanged, all the people, they drop in the gallows and everyone starts applauding. It's just like such a weird thing. But like, I've heard several podcasts and watched loads of videos about how like the culture of death is like, it's not unusual for people to be like happy to see someone die. It's like a very modern thing for people to be like, someone get executed. That's like gross. Because in the past, people were like, yeah, like I want to go and see people. Like, thousands and thousands of people would travel hundreds of miles to come see someone get hanged.
Is it entertainment?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
It is very weird. People would pay loads of money to get the best seats to watch someone die.
I suppose because it would give you some, like, if you have nothing else for entertainment, it'd be some sort of, you know what I mean, anything.
You say that, but like, people were getting hanged up into the 70s and they're still getting massive crowds.
Fair enough. People were just psychopaths.
And then, like, Ted Bundy got killed in whatever, like the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And he had like people crowding around the electric chair killed him, or the lethal injection, and the prison that he was in was surrounded by thousands of people. Because he's a big famous person, they want to see him die.
Yeah, jeez.
Like, it's a weird kind of obsession that people have with death.
Yeah, that's weird.
But that's what happens, I suppose. Yeah, so like she speaks to this guy, the sheriff, because he was there when they all got hanged, and then he's talking, she wants to know where this guy Tom Chaney is. It's kind of, at the start, it's very much like she goes from person to person, just doing errands, as she says.
Yeah. And no, she goes to watch a hanging, the hanging, and goes to identify the sheriff. She asks, and she sees the sheriff, and then she asks the sheriff why they haven't, about the killer, Tom Chaney, and why they haven't went to go find him, but he says it's out of his jurisdiction now.
Yeah, because he's went into the Indian Reserve territory.
Yeah. So it's US Marshals' problem now.
Yeah, it's a marshal. So then he like recommends, well, she's like, which one? I want a marshal, then I'm going to hire one. Which one's the best? And he lists like, this one's the most honourable, this one's the most...
Best tracker. This one's the
best tracker, deadliest.
Yeah.
And then, but like she goes for the one who he says is the most like honorable almost, which turns out not to be that true really when we actually meet the person. Mm. She goes to meet the person who's honorable, but he's like in the outhouse.
Yeah.
And she's trying to like get him to come out, and he's like, "I'll be a while, so just go away."
Oh yeah.
That's just, it's such a weird, like, the pacing of that is just so weird because we don't even see his face.
Yeah.
It just feels very jarring because you feel like they would be like eager to show his face straight away, because obviously the movies nowadays are built around the big stars and stuff.
Yeah.
So you think there'd be like a big showcase, like, oh, can you believe we got Jeff Bridges to play this part? But it's like, there's almost no fanfare at all. It's just like, we hear his voice in the toilet.
Is that, we don't even see him at all?
We do, not till later.
Oh, right.
I guess that's the guy with the eye patch.
Oh, right.
Or he's in the toilet.
Ah, yes.
And then there's a really weird bit where she goes and sleeps, because she can't afford a room the first night she goes and sleeps in the morgue. Very weird. And before all that, before she went to go and see the hanging, she speaks, she has a slave. She speaks to the slave, like, go home and tell mum that it's fine. Mama, go and tell mama that I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay back and do some errands. Like, I release you or something, she says. It's good that they don't shy away from like
the difficult topics. I mean, later on when she's getting the horse as well. So one of the only black guys she see in the film is the
The trainer, boy. the horse
stable boy. Yeah.
That's then what happens, I suppose. Yeah.
She goes to visit the guy that sold her dad the horse. He's and asks for like a refund.
Yeah.
But then he's like, no.
No, no, no.
And that's where she got that song from.
And then a big debate enthralls. It's not a word.
Kicks where, off.
she's like, I want this much for the horses. She's like, well, I don't want the horses. And then, bada bing, bada boom, they come to the conclusion that
bada bing, bada boom.
She starts using to threaten a lawyer. She's got a lawyer on that. And eventually he's like, okay, I'll buy the horses off you.
Yeah. It's cool, like, when she's walking around in the town, there's really nice, kind of authentic music playing that I would reckon was around at that time and was common.
It feels, unlike a lot of other Western films, it feels like it's very much trying to make it as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot of time in like modern Westerns, like it's like electric guitars and stuff, but obviously that wouldn't be around at the time.
And everyone's wearing these big like, over-the-top stuff, but yeah.
And then I really like how they have stuff that they don't really glamorize. People look dirty and stuff. People don't look like heroes or anything. They look gross. Like Jeff Bridges' character has like a big red nose because he's an alcoholic or whatever.
Yeah.
Like he looks minging.
Mm-hmm. No one really looks like a hero.
So then obviously, as you said, she goes and speaks to the trader and they talk about how she has a cotton farm. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, she does have a slave, so that makes sense, I suppose, that she had a cotton farm.
Yeah.
She's talking about like how, well, obviously she has slaves and she's not the one picking the cotton, obviously, because she's like a little girl. Because she's like pristine condition.
She has slaves, but you can tell she's very wealthy.
Yeah.
Or like she was before her dad was killed, with having made a big trade but not having any money.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, my name is Mary Ross, daughter of Frank Ross.
It's weird because like no one in the film I would say is like an amazing person, which is also quite realistic of the time, I suppose.
I think she's alright, but she's like got a vendetta that is kind of, well, I would say like there's no one really that good, but no one's really that bad either.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's just kind of there surviving.
Yeah.
In this world.
Doing their thing. Yeah.
Right.
And so then like, so
yeah, where
as you said, she's like, she negotiates that money from this guy and it eventually she's able to negotiate. She manipulates him really into like giving him.
She's threatened him with a lawyer saying that like if it goes to court, everyone will believe the mother and child instead of the man.
Yeah.
The hungry businessman.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
Because, and he's like, fine, okay, you got me. I'll do it.
I'll buy it from you.
And then she goes around like getting money off, trying to get money off different people. Trying to get all the dollars.
She speaks to her like the she manages to negotiate to get to $320 for $20 up front. Then she uses that $20 to go to a hotel where her dad stayed. And so then the one who owned the hotel is like, here's all your dad's things. She says something like, there are no light fingers in this house, which is like, we don't steal.
Yeah,
because the thieves have light fingers because they're able to steal like, well.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Without getting noticed, and she gives him her stuff back. She looks inside, and there's a gun.
There's a big blapper in there, absolute blapper.
A big Colt revolver. She's like, yes. So then she jumps out the window and just starts blasting in front of the streets. Now she does.
Yeah. 50 bodies on the floor. She only has 6 bullets in the chamber, but 50 bodies.
She's shooting one bullet and get like 40 headshots in one shot.
Collateral. Just bounces around everywhere.
Calls an airstrike because she gets that selfie kill.
That's the only scene that doesn't seem realistic where like she gets the 40 person collateral.
She gets a 4-person kill streak, calls in a care package, and then gets a nuke, and then that's it. Wins the game.
So she sleeps beside this old lady, whatever her name.
Call her grandma.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, grandma, whatever, in the bottom floor of that hotel.
That's right, she's like, everyone's old, it's just grandma.
Yeah, she doesn't know. She's like, she must be the only person like so that old. So like, yeah, that's just her.
Just grandma.
So then the next day, well, she obviously doesn't sleep very well because the old lady keeps stealing the blanket.
Snoring really loud.
Which is, it's just a weird detail to put in as well. Like, it absolutely has no bearing on the story whatsoever.
There's so many scenes of this. Even like, that horse scene where she's trying to get the money back for the horses, that went for so long.
Yeah, I mean, it just establishes that she's very capable, but doesn't really, not it just, it's purely character, no plot.
Yeah, exactly.
So
she ends up going to the court case where the marshal is.
And this scene is so long again.
Yeah,
he's describing what happened. He killed two people.
He killed two people, like, but it turns out he did it in cold blood. And the guy's like, how many people have you killed? He's like, I don't know, like 12, 15. And the guy's like, no, I've done the numbers. And I know. And he's like, fine, it was 23 people I've killed. And he says, like, 5 of them are all in the same family. So like, it sounds like he's got like a vendetta against these people.
Ew.
So maybe he's not as honourable as he was made out to be by the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes up to the guy after the fact. And he says, like, they tell me you're a man with true grit.
Yeah.
She has really cool lines like that, where she says, like,
yeah.
She's like, impressed with someone, but she says it in a cool way.
Yeah.
You tell me you're a man with true grit. And he's like, oh, it's the film. So that's the name of the movie.
I actually wrote this down. I said, comes to court the next day, the manuscript incident. Girl says to the man after the trial, she says, looking for a man with true grit, just because it says the film title in it.
It's like in I think it's in Family Guy, it was like, luckily I am Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. I'll save the day. I'm Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Lucky that I am The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. And so then...
Look at me, it's Batman Begins. never get so...
So Batman fight with somebody. It's like, who are you? It's like, Batman Begins.
Like, what? Sorry, it's weird because like she, like when she's speaking to him, she rolls a cigarette for him. Like,
yeah.
Like she, obviously she's very capable, but at the same time she's very subservient to people constantly. Like she's doing things for people that she doesn't really need to do because she's obviously like a second class citizen in this society.
I think she does it though as well because it gets them to listen to her because she's being nice.
They have no choice but to like listen up. She talks about, she mentions her brother, Little Frank, which I think is very funny that he's called Little Frank.
Yeah.
Little Frank.
Because obviously her dad was called Big Frank. Big Frank. Big Chunky Frank. But this Big is Frank, like little tiny Little Frank. Big Frank, Little Frank, they cook for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. but like, he doesn't seem impressed with what she's saying. Like her proposition is that she hires him.
He doesn't believe her, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I'll give you $50 to go and hunt this guy down for me, with the implication that she's going to be there with him.
Yeah.
But he's like, nah.
No way.
Like, well, if you put in a formal request, I'll have to do it, but I'm not going to do it at charity.
Yeah.
And then she goes in back to the hotel, and on the way she sees Matt Damon sitting on the porch. He's just like sitting back and smoking his cigar.
Pipe.
Yeah, his pipe. Yeah, you're right. And then she sleeps next to the old lady again. Same thing happens. And this scene is so weird. Where
weird. She wakes up back there, just sitting there smoking his pipe again.
Yeah, and she's like, just there.
He's saying some more weird things like, "I'll see you there," and I thought about coming to kiss you, but you're also too young and you're also too ugly.
Then he's like, and now I'm glad I didn't because you have an unpleasant disposition.
Yeah.
Because she's a meanie, a big meanie. And it's like, my name is LaBeef.
Yeah. Just sort of watch her sleep.
LaBeef. Yeah. He like, that isn't the first weird thing. That's like, well, that's the first thing, but like, he does more weird things later on.
Weird stuff, yeah.
But like, again, like, he is meant to be like this kind of hero character, and then he's established as being
weird. That's what we could, he's shown to be like the classic cowboy hero, but then they kind of show that he's also not the best. He's also got a lot of stuff wrong with him.
Actually, I quite like this film because like typically cowboy films are like outlaws and stuff, like from the perspective of outlaws and stuff. Whereas these are like
justice,
two lawmen from different parts. Because obviously he reveals that he's a Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
And he says that he's been tracking this same guy for like months and months, and he goes by several names and stuff. So they're in.
He's a bad dude.
But he, like, because in Texas, he had killed a senator, so like, no, it's a Texas Ranger thing.
Yeah.
And he wants, like, she explains, like, I'm going to go, I've got the marshal, he's coming with me. She kind of like bluffs and says that he's already coming, but he isn't really.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll come with you then.
So then she goes,
but he says, but I want him to come back to Texas. And she's like, no, I want him to hang here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Arkansas. It says in my notes, he says he thought about kissing her, but she's too ugly and annoying.
Yeah. And young. She says, you just say young as well.
I thought about kissing. Why would you say that to a child?
Why would you just go kiss her in their sleep, some random stranger?
Yeah, I don't know. Very weirdo. Creepy. She goes back to buy a pony from that guy after just selling 3 ponies to him. Buys another one.
Yeah.
A pony. I say a pony, it's a horse. I don't know why I wrote pony in my notes as well. Little Blackie, which is again, like, she buys it from a small black boy and calls the horse Little Blackie.
I thought she was saying it to him though, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, but whoa. Still. And then the guy, he says, like, what does he like for a treat? He's like, well, ma'am, he's an apple. He's an apple.
He's an apple.
Well, ma'am, he's a horse, so he likes apples.
Yeah. Oops.
Oh, man, he's an apple, so he likes horses.
So then she goes to the marshal and is like, right, you're coming. And he's like, okay, come back to me tomorrow. And then
she gets there and he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah.
He bought her a train ticket as well.
Yeah, to go for her to go home.
Like, it's so weird because, like, obviously it's set so far in the past, so like it's so much money. So like, and he has like $50 a year now, so that's probably like $5,000 worth of money nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she has like a $5,000 note, and she uses that.
Yeah.
You give it to some guy. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So weird. Yeah, she speaks to the guy. He's like, I know how to hunt. I was on a coon hunt.
At first, yeah, I was like, whoa, but then I realized it was raccoons, yeah.
Raccoon. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have said it if it wasn't,
yeah,
raccoon.
No, obviously not when you said it. When they said it, the film, at first I was like, whoa, but then I was like, all right, she means the...
Raccoons, yeah.
Raccoons.
And there's she has like a montage of her getting ready. She puts on the hat and it like falls over her head. And she puts like a newspaper in it to prop it up.
Yeah.
That was cute.
It was nice.
And then she chases him, the marshal.
Chases him. And this is a really weird scene where it's not a weird scene when she swims across the river, but like it's framed so weird where we don't even really see the people across the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, there's just two people. And then she's like...
But, and, like, I mean, she was quite far away at the time, so maybe it's trying to show it from her point of view, because she wasn't right up at the river yet.
I suppose that's fair enough.
She's seen it from a distance.
I just think it is very, like, it's not the style you would use nowadays.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
To have them just lingering in the background. And again, why would they stop and watch? Why wouldn't they just keep going?
Yeah, because they didn't want her to be there.
And then, this is really the weird scene after this when, like, she gets across.
Gets across, yeah, with Laura. And then the guy just... Matt David LaBeouf just jumps off his horse, drags her off, and just starts giving her spanking. He said it before.
Starts spanking her. It's so weird.
Yeah.
He just starts spanking her. Like, you're getting a good spanking, miss.
Marshall's like, stop it, and he's like, no.
Nah.
At first, the Marshall's just like, watching it. He's just smoking, watching it, and then the main girl's like, you're not going to do anything about it, and he's like, I believe I am. And he just pulls out his gun. Like, stop it.
Yeah, he's supposed to, you know, like, I suppose if you want me to, I suppose I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just had another weird scene where, like, it cuts a little bit. Yeah, and then they're just sitting, bickering a bit, whatever.
No, she's just sitting there silently, like, obviously, just distraught.
Yeah. And then she's like, I can tell you guys a story if you want.
Yeah. But someone has to play the part.
Yeah, it's like, I can tell you the story about the midnight caller. One of you will have to play the caller, but I can do all the rest.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Nah, it was sweet, though, because the other two were arguing. And then she tried to light up the
mood. Yeah, she's just trying to be, like, yeah. The midnight caller.
Yeah,
so, again, like, that's another example of another scene that just kind of has... It just could show that they don't get on. But we know that already.
Yeah, we know that we don't. And then, because they're arguing about... Well, they argue about the Civil War, because they both serve different sides.
Yeah, the LaBeouf was on the Union side, the North, and then the Cogburn was part of the Confederates, so he was like fought for the South.
Yeah,
obviously lost. So
and then they start like mocking each other and that, and then they fall out, and then she says that they're trying to lighten the mood.
And the Ranger ends up going away on his own.
Yeah.
And then, like, so it's just those two, right? So now it's the marshal, who's Jeff Bridges with an eye patch, and this little girl are riding along, and then they get to this cabin, and then the Cogburn just starts beating up these two kids.
Yeah, that's...
Because they're messing with this donkey.
Yes. They're Native American, though, because it's in Native American territory. That's what I mean, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, he just beats, and then he goes in to ask... If he's seen LaBeouf, what's the guy called?
LaBeouf, yeah.
No, and who's looking for again? Cheney.
Yeah.
Cheney. He goes in as if they've seen Tom Chaney, but you don't hear him say it. And then when he walks out, like, the two kids are just staring at the main girl. And then when Jeff Bridges walks out, he just kicks a kid off the balcony. Yeah. Volleys him off. For no reason. The kid just sitting there.
It's so weird. But before that, they go, they see the dead body, like, hanging in the woods.
Yeah. Was that not after?
No, because then when they're seeing those people, that's when the guy comes over to them with the body again. He's been following them, I think.
Fair.
Like, they speak. He walks along and he's just kind of chattering about nothing. He's like, "My wife and kids hate me," essentially. And then eventually, we do stumble across this tree. It's way up the tree, and she climbs up, like, really high. Do you get it?
Yeah.
He's like, "I can't go up. I'm too fat."
Yeah, too fat, too old.
And then she was like, "Why would they boot so high?" And then he was like, "I don't know, to hurt someone else or something like that."
Yeah, to hang him harder or something. He said,
"Yeah."
It's just such a weird exchange.
It don't make sense.
And then the other people arrive, and it's we're meant to be like, "Oh no, they're threatened," but then they just come in like, "Oh, they just want the body." And we're like, "Okay, that's fine. You can have it. I don't care."
Yeah, a guy with a big bear on his head.
No, that's not yet.
No, it's not them.
It's a Native American guy.
Ooh.
Who comes down?
Yeah, they come and take the two of them come and take the body, and then they go away, and she comes down.
And he's she comes back.
And then they think they're being followed
because the guy shoots a near a gunshot, and he told Jeff Cogburn Bridges.
Told him.
Yeah, told the Native American.
Signal if they're being followed.
Yeah, if they're being followed, fire a shot.
So then they're like, "Oh, that must be LaBeef." So then the girl's like, "What about if we double back and trick him really cleverly?" And he's like, "Nah, we'll just stay here."
Yeah. Sit and wait for him. But he's fair enough, though. If you just sit and confront him, then, like, you could just tell him to stop following us.
And then the guy, as you said, the bear guy comes up. The bear, this guy dressed in, like, a bear skin comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it sits on him for, like, 10 seconds. And then it cuts to Jeff Bridges going, "You are not LaBeef." It's just such a weird...
Yeah.
So natural.
"You are not LaBeef."
He's funny. He's quite dim, I would say. But
I just think it's so stupid to call him LaBeef.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
LaBeef. So yeah, there's a man wearing his bear skin, and this guy again is like,
he's just funny character. He's like, I'm a doctor, a dentist, and something else. And it's like, he's like, Guy Marshall's like, "Clearly that guy didn't make it. It's a dead guy in the back of his horse."
Yeah.
He's like, "I've collected his teeth, but I'm willing to sell the body for a fine price." Yeah.
"Do any of you two need medical attention?" He says, "Oh, like, he talks like this and in little bits and pieces."
It's
like
so a weird. Robot. And he's like, Marshall's like, "Do you know anywhere warm?" And he's like, "Well, I have my bear skin." And he just sits silently for like 30 seconds staring at him. And he's like, "Well, you'll probably want to head to get to the shed down this way."
Yeah, what was he implying there? They go inside his bear skin with him.
Yeah, he just sits there. It's like boasting of his bear skin. They just sit for 30 seconds in silence staring at him.
"Well, I have a bear skin."
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. So eventually they arrive at this little shack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the guy's like, Marshall's like, "Anyone in there?" And he's like, "Yeah, and like, can we come in?" They're like, "No." But then he gets the little girl to go onto the roof with his jacket so that if something goes wrong, she can block the chimney. So all the smoke from the little hut will fill up and then they have to run out.
Them out. Yeah. It's so clever.
They're like, "No, you can't come in." So then he blocks, he tells her to do it, and then they fire a shot, and he fires a shot back.
Yeah.
Hits one of them. Do you recognise the guy?
Yeah, I recognise both of them, actually.
Really? Well, I didn't recognise the older one. So the guy who got shot, the younger guy, Domhnall Gleeson, he's quite like a famous... His dad is a famous actor as well, he's famous. He's in like the Star Wars films. Yeah, he's in a Black Mirror episode as well.
He's the First Order officer guy.
Yeah.
But the big guy, I remember as well. I don't remember where I see him from, but I remember him.
But yeah, like this scene lasts like 10 minutes, but nothing happens really.
Yeah, because like, the marshal's trying to ask them if they've seen Cheney.
He's like, nope.
But the guy who's been shot, he's a bit timid and awkward about it. So you can tell that they clearly have. Yeah. And the big guy's like, no, we haven't. The wee guy tries to say anything, he's like, we haven't seen him. Just big eyes.
We ain't seen him.
Yeah. It's like clearly showing that they have.
He's like shouting over it. Yeah. He's like, well, maybe I saw something. No, you didn't see nothing. And then the guy, he just keeps speaking. This guy, Domhnall Gleeson's character, keeps speaking, and he just whips out this cleaver and cuts off his fingers.
Yeah, what?
No, it's because the marshal is scared. I'm like, I can get you to a doctor quick, and then you go be arrested, but I can be nice to you. And he gets so paranoid, and then he says that he's seen him. He said, we saw Cheney 2 days ago, and then the guy gets the cleaver out, just hacked his fingers off.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of sausages lying on the table. I was like, oop. Making me hungry for some sausages.
Don't say that.
Yeah, so then he cuts off his fingers, then stabs him many, many multiple times. Or one big time.
Yeah. And then the marshal shoots the big guy.
Yes. And as the guy's bleeding out on the ground, he's like, there's people, we saw them 2 days ago, and they're going to come back here soon, so
tonight.
Tonight, you can ambush them if you want.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to the night, later that night, and then they're overlooking the house, and so Cogburn has this quite, because Cogburn, it seems like he's very capable, he knows what he's doing, he has plans for everything.
Yeah.
Even though he isn't he's established later that he's not the best shooter or anything, but he's a good tactician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're overlooking the house. He's like, I'm gonna let most of them go in, and then shoot them as they come out. So it's like a fish in a barrel kind of situation.
And so because they're away from the horses, so it'd be harder.
Once he's killed, three of them, then the rest of them will surrender probably.
Yeah.
So then they see one man running up. And they're like, that's weird. They don't normally send out a scout, but it turns out it's our old friend.
And that's when I thought that was Cheney.
No.
I was like, LaBeouf. No, I thought that LaBeouf was Cheney, but in disguise.
Oh,
I was wrong.
Cheeky.
That would have
cool,
been
actually.
A good twist.
It would have been a good twist. But it's not in the 60s. We wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. So it's okay.
LaBeouf. So the outlaws arrive soon after that. So LaBeouf's like, screwed.
Yeah.
And
there's about six guys, about five guys, something like that.
I thought it was going to be a big shootout. Like, I thought LaBeouf was going to try, but it makes sense that he wouldn't because he would definitely die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the lasso. LaBeouf. And that's when Cogburn takes a shot at one of them when he's trying to get into the house.
Yeah.
There's a big, massive shootout. Yeah. And then Cogburn is able to kill them all very quickly.
Yeah.
He was like, blah, blah, blah,
he
blah,
doesn't,
blah.
He kills almost all of them. No, yeah, they lasso, they buff, and then, he sort of drag one around on the horse. Because the marshal starts shooting, so the buff gets absolutely dragged around everywhere.
And then, so he manages to kill everyone but one, so one gets away.
One guy gets away.
Yeah.
So then they all go down, and in the crossfire, LaBeouf got shot. And Cogburn starts putting his fingers in his mouth to see if he...
It's because his tongue.
Yeah, because he see if he hurt him, because he was like, why are you bleeding? Why's your mouth bleeding? He's like, I bit my mouth.
Bit my own mouth.
And I think he does he feel inside his mouth to check if he actually has or if he's got internal bleeding?
I don't know why.
Because if he can find a wound in his mouth, then he would probably be okay. But if there was no wound in his mouth, then he was just probably going to die from blood loss.
Jeez.
That's my estimation, my pure guess.
No, he talked about his tongue as well. You see, you rip it apart of the tongue. Because it was half off.
Ooh.
Oh, that's what he's handing, mucking around my tongue. So you see, I can just rip it off if you want, because it won't properly heal.
Gross. Yeah, so then he... They now have an idea of where they think the outlaws will be because he knows we talked about this guy Ned Pepper before. This guy, he's part of the Ned Pepper gang who he kind of knows where he hangs out normally. So he's like, oh, we'll head over there.
So then they continue on their journey the next again day.
And then they have this little shooting contest, which lasts like 5 full minutes and nothing happens again. The outcome is that the beef is a better shooter.
Yeah.
They're
shooting cornbread. They have the argument because the beef is he'd been shot. So he can't use one of his arms and his face is all mangled. And they're saying, and then the marshals slag on saying he wouldn't be able to, you'd not be a good shooter anymore. He's like, I'll still be better than you because you have one eye. And then they challenge each other and LaBeouf wins.
And then Matty's like, I really misjudged you, LaBeouf.
Yeah. LaBeouf. I just think it's so ridiculous that they call him La Beef.
Kind of adds like the Texas
La Beef. Yeah, just can like obviously it's a French name, La Beef.
Yeah,
they call him La Beef. La Beef.
And Americans are just they have to say it in an American way.
Yeah.
What do you want for dinner? I have some La Beef.
I have some beef.
Some beef. La Steak, please.
Steak.
They go fragile are like. I want le beef.
Yeah, I speak French. Watch this. I'll have some le beef, please, monsieur.
Don't worry.
Honey, watch this. I speak the language. So they argue. They get to the mine and it's empty. So their theory is bad. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of argue. They're at a dead end now. They don't know what to do. Cogburn says to the little girl that, like, our business is terminated. You can have the $50 back.
Because he's very drunk at this point. Because
he's been drinking all day.
He's been drinking all day, yeah.
And she's like, fine, I'll go with LaBeouf. LaBeef. LaBeef. And then she's like, goes up to him like, can you want to come with me? He's like, nah, I'm going to give up and go back to Texas now. I've been doing this for months.
Months? Months.
Yeah, he said he'd been doing it for 3 months or something. He'd been tracking him.
Oh, jeez.
And then he shakes her hand. He's like, adios.
Bye.
Bye.
And
then the next day she wakes up. So obviously, like, that's LaBeouf gone.
Yeah.
So it's just her and Cogburn. And Cogburn doesn't care about her anymore. So he's just doing his own thing.
She
goes down to the water to get water the next day to feed the horses or to drink the horse. They keep saying to water the horses like they're plants.
Yeah.
They go down and water the horses.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. That just ain't right.
Go get some water to drink, now, eh?
What happens down at the creek, though?
There's a man.
They see over, it's a man close to the gate. See, it's Cheney.
It's Tom Cheney.
Just when they think the trail's dead, Tom Cheney can be seen. Get him water for his horses.
What a coincidence.
What an absolute coincidence.
He tries to grab her.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think you're going to shoot me. And she just shoots him in the arm.
Shoots him in the arm.
Yeah.
And then he's very angry and then he's about to grab her, but then the DeLorean crashes through. No, it doesn't really. Get it! We gotta go to 1985!
But I'm from 1820. Why would I want to do that? We gotta go back to 1985! What? Man, I'm late for school!
Don't it? Okay. Right. Where are
we? Hey, Mum.
So he shoots... She shoots Mr. Cheney, and then she goes to shoot him again because he gets very angry at this point and rushes
Sean
her.
Craig.
Oh, hello, Mum.
I said hello, Mum.
Ask Mum when she next to come on the podcast now.
What did you say, Craig?
I just asked her when she's next going to be, when she's going to be able to come on the podcast.
Mum, when are you going to be able to come on the podcast? She's once again having her lunch, so not just now.
Fucking time it.
But in any other times?
Well, just give Dad and I some, or me some warning when...
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Same then. No problem.
Yeah.
Oh, Mum. Always has our lunch at very precise times.
She does, indeed.
Anyway, so, sorry about that.
Yeah, so then he won't go with her. He shoots her, and he takes her away, grabs her, runs away. And that's the first time we see this guy Pepper, Ned Pepper.
Yeah.
Interestingly, do you know that Ned Pepper is played by Barry Pepper?
No way!
Yeah.
Why didn't they just keep him the same name?
Yeah, why didn't they give him the same name?
Well, because it's like a base. It was called Ned Pepper in the original.
Oh,
but it was cast, Barry Pepper got cast as him.
Of course.
It's quite funny. Like a wee. Imagine your last name being Pepper as well.
Pepper.
Imagine your name was Beef. Pepper la Beef.
Beef.
Pepper a la Beef.
La Beef.
It's me, beef. La Beef.
I like beef.
I smell like beef.
Are you guys okay?
The classic Vine.
Yeah, have you ever seen that before?
Are you girl?
Definitely.
No. I smell like beef.
He's like 5 years old.
Yeah. That's funny.
So then she's walking through like this gang, and there's a guy running around making chicken and cow noises.
Yeah, it's really weird.
He's like, quack, quack, quack,
quack, quack. Making all these different animal noises. Yeah, it's pretty insane.
He's got mental difficulties of some kind. But like Pepper, she's talking to Pepper, and he seems like a reasonable guy.
Asking her like what she's up to and why she shot Chaney.
What you up to, girl? How you been?
What you doing?
Did we see that they kidnapped her? Chaney and that.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Like, she's not going to go willingly with the person to kill their dad.
They kidnapped her, and then but there's like a standoff where like the head of the group, the outlaw group, stands on top of the girl, and he's like, "I'll kill her if." He shouts to the marshal, "I'll kill her if you don't go away. Go to this ridge and fire a shot."
I can't get the impression that he wouldn't have killed her, though. He seems like alright guy.
I don't know.
But it's nice because there isn't like any implied like they were going to hurt her or anything. They're just using her as a tool. They weren't going to "I'm going to take you and you're going to be my slave" or whatever. They're just like, "I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Sure you should get what we want.
I'm going to kill you if you don't leave me alone."
Nah.
So, they are fighting, eventually. Well, they get left, right?
Yeah, disaster strikes.
So, they're having a conversation about whatever. They seem reasonable enough. The Pepper gang and everyone else leave. They leave Tom Chaney and... what's her name?
Matty.
Just sitting there. And obviously, that's not going to end well. I'm sure Ned Pepper is well aware of that.
Yeah, probably the plan deep down.
Yeah, so they had seen... Yeah, deep down, they saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Cogburn has left. He's long gone. The Pepper gang then leave. So it's just Tom Chaney and this girl, Matty, on top of this cliff. And then she goes to kill her.
He
goes to kill her. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. She goes to kill herself.
And he's like, "I don't regret shooting your dad."
Yeah.
And that would make you angry.
That'd make you real mad.
Yeah.
That'd make me go... "Oh God, I'm mad." "I don't regret killing your daddy." "I'm distressed."
Then all of a sudden,
out of nowhere, La Beef.
La Beef.
Yeah.
He says, "Like, is anyone hungry for some La Beef?"
It's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger 1980s film quote.
"Is anyone hungry for some of the beef?"
No.
"It's me, your American friend, La Beef."
And then,
So then
he saves her.
He whacks, what's his name, over the head, and then knocks him out cold.
And then they're talking about... the beef talking about how the marshal had a plan where he was going
to
lure them away, and then he was going to challenge them in the river.
It's because they talk about the creek, but they call it the crick. So I'm down at the crick.
Never noticed that.
At the crick. And so they look over this big valley and they see the three Pepper gang going out and Cogburn coming towards them. And then there's eventually a big shootout.
There's a wee dialogue. And he's like, "What's the plan here?" And he's like, "I'm gonna..." I can hear Mum in the background.
Wait, sorry about that.
Yeah, so comes in, and you're like, there's a big fight, big shootout.
Yeah, because I know. Well, because the marshal says earlier, way earlier on in the film, tells a story about how he rushed people with a horse. He was by himself, and he rushed a group of people, and the people all panicked and scattered, because when someone's running at you, sometimes you'll panic and not realise who's around you.
Yeah, like, you forget your advantage and just run away.
Yeah. So he does that same concept. He rushes at them with his two guns out.
To be fair, he kills two of them.
Yeah.
But then Ned Pepper hits his horse and knocks it out.
And he gets shot once as well.
Yeah. He gets shot in the hand or something. Yeah. Pepper gets shot in the hand. So then it's LaBeouf sitting up on the ridge, and Mary's like, take a shot at him. He's like, nah, it's too far.
Yeah, he's trying to light it up.
But eventually he's trying to do it, and he's like, holds his breath, like, absolute press the stick to hold their breath, and yeah. He just...
absolutely dinks him, headshot.
It's like, ka-chunk! It's like, ka-chink!
Gold camel, acquired. No.
He actually gets Red Tiger when he does it.
And then, but he kills him, and then the girl's like, to LaBeouf, he's like, oh, well done, what a shot, that's like 400 yards. And he's like, well, the Henry rifle. And but then he gets hit, on the head by
Cheney.
Yeah, Cheney comes up, he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
So there's a little scuffle. She grabs the gun off of LaBeouf's body, cracks him, knocks him off the cliff.
Blasts him.
Absolute no-scopes him, absolute kills him.
But because she's so small, she goes absolute flying back.
She's only a wee gal, and she falls down this wee hole. This wee hole's like big.
The cave.
And there's like bodies in it.
Yeah.
Bodies in it.
Why the hell did she touch the skeleton?
Because she's trying to get a knife.
Yeah, but like, why? Then she like didn't take the knife. She just left it. She could have just like, she was gonna get bit anyway. Just take the knife.
I mean,
she was just dragging the skeleton along. Like
before she did that, she could have also just shouted for help.
She could have just like shuggled her leg and got out of that. Cause she goes down this hole, and on the way down she gets her leg stuck in like a vine. But she could have very easily just
took her foot out of it. Mm, yeah.
But I'm sure she was full of adrenaline. She didn't know what was happening. She's panicking. Just saw her best friend LaBeouf get killed.
And there's LaBeouf. Skeletons and the thing, snakes and the skeleton.
Yeah,
but I didn't get that.
That comes up to the conversation earlier where. The marshal's putting rope around himself, and she asks, "What are you doing that?" He says, "Because there's snakes around." But then LaBeouf's like, "There's no snakes awake at this time." And like, "There has been said to be snakes," and then
there has been said.
The snake was asleep in the skeleton. That's what it was.
He says, "Silence, LaBeouf." My name is Rooster Cogburn.
My name is Andy Dufresne. That's right.
Andy Dufresne. They call me Old Red. That's the day I heard about Andy Dufresne.
Shawshank starts immediately
after. What the hell? LaBeouf, are you okay? She shouts from the hole. LaBeouf, come on, help me.
Because the snake comes out, bites her in the hand, but the marshal just comes flying down. He managed to get up.
It's really funny because he's like, are you okay? Are you bit? He's like, she's like, no, I'm fine. And it cuts her hands, a little snake in her hand. She's like, oh no, actually, I am bit. I'm fine. I feel pretty good actually. I feel light as a feather. Looks her hand. Oh no, there's a snake in my hand.
There's a snake in my
boot.
And then he gets her up, and then it kind of just cuts to them on the horse, eh?
Well, yeah. They make it out. They leave the beef. They're like, I'll come back for you in a bit.
The marshal's like, yeah, because there's only one horse. He's like, right, we're going to run her back because she needs treatment or she's going to die.
Yeah.
He scores a little cross in her hand, sucks out the venom, but then takes her to the hospital. Yeah. The doctor.
And then you absolutely sprint to the horse and the horse passes out. And then this is where you kind of see he's like an honorable man because he picks her up and like runs all the way as a old man.
The horse is old. Yeah, the horse is like, the horse didn't break its leg or that, did it? It just was tired.
Yeah, it just got so tired.
Yeah, but you might have like ran it to exhaustion and like there was no food or anything for it. I don't know.
Yeah, but he gave it no choice. It's like, great, you're dead.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You could have just came back for it.
Yeah, snake.
Yeah, fair enough.
An absolute snake.
Yeah.
And then he kills him in absolute sprints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his teammates down, so he absolutely sprints across them.
No, to be fair, see when the camera zooms out, they are going so fast across that field.
Yeah, he's going 500 miles an hour.
Yeah, they were.
He's actually
bit...
Lightning McQueen.
Yeah. He's just a flash.
He actually is.
Yeah.
Turns out superhero form the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's... I'm the Marshal and I'm the Flash.
I'm the Leaf. I'm the Leaf. So they eventually reach this house, and then he falls like right in front of it and shoots his pistol to signal.
Collapse with exhaustion, yeah, and shoots his pistol to alert them. And then it cuts to her, the main woman, when she's older. She's a woman now.
25 years later.
25 years goes by fast, or something like that.
Yeah, a quarter century goes by real quick.
And then...
So she's 39 at this point.
Yeah.
She's got one arm.
Yeah.
She does, because they had to amputate.
Her arm. And then shows her walking to... She got off a train. And she was saying... She hadn't heard from the Marshal since. She tried to get in contact with him. She recently got a letter from him with a flyer saying that he's joined a circus.
To come and see her.
Yeah, to come see him if she's able to. So she comes, but he died 3 days before. That was quite sad. Just missed.
Yeah, but it's such a weird scene again.
Yeah, like why would you not just be alive?
The focus should have been on the letter, really. The focus shouldn't have been like, oh no, but she gets there and he's dead.
He says that the letter was quite simplistic, because that kind of describes him as a man. He wasn't a very articulate man.
Can I ask? You know how when she's speaking to the two men at the circus thing, and then she's like, is not nice to the one that's sitting down? Why?
Yeah, like it's because he's rude. He didn't stand up to greet her.
The other man.
She's a proper lady.
The other man stood up to apologize for say sorry for the death. And he just sat there.
Like I said, like, I don't give a darn. I don't give a good god dang.
I was so confused. I was like, do we know him? But,
yeah. She says, thank you and keep your seat trash.
Yeah. Kind of nowhere.
He calls him trash.
And then she leaves. She gets on her scooter and scoots off. No, she leaves. And
sprints off. She's like, keep your seat trash. And she actually sprints in the opposite direction.
And then she gets... She says she got the body moved up to her lot. Her land. Yeah. So she could visit him.
And she's like, I do not know what happened to LeBeef.
But I would like to
hear from him or whatever. Yeah, I'm sure he would be between his 70 and 80. I'm sure he would be closer to 80 though, or something. Really, she said it in such a weird way. And that's how the film ends. It just ends there.
Yeah,
she kind of ate there. Like, for anyone who's seen Parks and Recreation series, you know Perd.
Yeah,
Perd Hapley, who like describes everything exactly how it is.
Welcome to the Word with Perd. I am here sitting in the studio with you today.
He could be 70 or 80.
He could be between 70 and 80. I would say closer to 80, though. Okay. Just say that, then. Okay, so, yeah, this film, it's very weird. Like, I think it is really good. It's a really good period piece. Like, you buy into it immediately.
Yeah, very much. And you get into the world, it feels very realistic.
It's realistic, but it's also like weird and kind of whimsical, because everyone just has these really weird conversations.
That's
the style of the Coen brothers, where it's just kind of like weird, jarring conversations.
Yeah.
Once again, like, I'm not gonna say, I would say for people watch it, I'm not gonna say don't expect it to be the best thing you've ever seen, because I mean, but it's still really good.
It's just, the best thing you've ever seen, because you're already listening to the best thing you've ever heard.
Exactly. But it's just, it's very... Like, parts of it are quite boring, but I would say like, some of those dialogue pieces are there, like, what's going on here?
My favourite part of the whole film is they keep calling him LeBeef.
LeBeef.
I just think it's very funny, LeBeef. Or, like, she's like, keep your seat trash.
Yeah, just these little weird little...
No, I like the guy with the bear. With the bear,
Do you two need medical attention?
I've taken out the teeth, but I'd be willing to rid myself of the body.
The
rid myself of the body for a fair price. So weird.
It is so weird. I am a doctor and a dentist and a surgeon. Okay. Yeah. It's a good film. Like it's just such a weird a weird film, but I really I think it was fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah.
So you guys got any questions regarding it?
No.
If a snake, where would you want a snake to bite you, in your legs or your arms?
Right on the nose. Because you have to amputate my face.
No.
I would get it to bite me in my pinky finger and cut it straight off.
Fair.
Okay.
Now, I'm pretty sure, like, if you got bit by a snake today, you could just be like, go to the doctor.
Yeah, obviously,
like,
no, yeah.
Here's some anti-venom, mate. It's all good. If only LaBeef had known. Do you think, how long do you think it took for LaBeef to get out? LaBeef.
To get out of where?
Because he left him on that cliff. That's last
he went a bit back and got on the marshal. Because the marshal, she said that the marshal stayed with her until she knew she was okay, but she left before she woke up. She probably went back.
I like to think that he just went for a nap somewhere and just chilled for a bit. And he was like, oh, crap, LaBeef. he's sitting eating a stew or something. He's like, this is a real nice beef stew. LaBeef! I left LaBeef.
It zooms right on his face.
Yeah, that's why she hasn't heard about LaBeef, because he died.
He died on the cliff. He starved to death.
Oh, man. I forgot about LaBeef. How could I forget?
And then
he never ate beef again.
Really good at them as well. Oh, I could eat some beef. I don't eat beef for a while.
But yeah, like, it is really good acting. Obviously, I think like everyone is good. I think the little girl is... I keep calling her a little girl. She's meant to be 14. I don't know how old she was. Yeah. Hayley Steinfeld, but she was really good. I think Jeff Bridges is probably the best. I think, it's because Josh Brolin is just, he plays a scumbag really well.
Yeah, I just wouldn't say there was a bad actor that I can think of, really. Everyone plays their part really, really well.
Like the supporter, the kind of minor characters play it all really well.
All very realistic.
No fat at all.
Yeah,
I really like. I did enjoy the film. It does, like, even though the plot is a straight line, it does kind of feel like it meanders a bit. And
yeah,
it's like,
that's like the first half an hour felt very like nothing was really happening.
Yeah, like, where is this going? Because they established what like the main driving force of the movie is going to be in the first like sentence.
Yeah,
but then they kind of go and do something else for half an hour, then jump back on that wagon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I mean. It takes a while to actually get into it.
I feel like the epilogue didn't really serve anything, really. It just like, so she, we find out, only thing we really find out in the thing is that LaBeef, she doesn't know anything about LaBeef. Cogburn's dead, and she never married. But like,
it kind of shows like, once again, it kind of shows like the unexciting grittiness of the time, where it was just, you know, there was no halfway reunions in that. Like, you just kind of did it and it moved on.
I suppose like she is very much like an independent woman as well. That she that kind of is encapsulated by how she ends up being like her own self, and she seems happy in that.
Yeah. And it's just like it, I heard he died, and I heard from them, but I would like to hear from him. It was like quite realistic, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From them, because you couldn't just text them like, "Hey, bro."
You could text them, but could you just wait until texting gets invented? Just wait 100 years and text them.
Yeah, no problem.
She just texts him.
Hey bro, how are you, Louis?
Question mark. Wait, it's 100 years just to text on that.
Wait, last steak. How are you? Last steak emoji. Last cow, how are you? LaBeef. So I would give this out of 10, probably 7.5 LaBeefs out of 10.
Nice.
LaBeef.
How many LaBeefs?
Sean's word of the week. LaBeef.
LaBeef. What do you think, man? What do you guys think?
I think overall I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10, I like it.
Yeah.
I'd probably say like a 7 as well.
Fair dues. I was thinking 7, but just talking about it, even just like me saying LaBeef over and over has made me like it more.
Like it was a good film, I think. But because I watched it the second time, like that's why I stopped watching it. I had to take a break because I was like quite bored at the start.
See, like, so now our standings sit at, I have the highest overall rating, the cumulative ratings put together at 127. Craig, you're at 124.4, and Louise, you're at 125.4.
I think it was that one film that brought mine
yes,
way down.
Yes, it was Lost in Translation, like, actually brought yours way down.
And asked it to buy that. I did not enjoy the film.
You gave it a 4, though. 4 so bad. Yeah,
that's below average. I would say it's below average. I did not enjoy it. I understand what it was trying to be, but I did not enjoy it.
I actually wouldn't say the average film. The past is in the past. I wouldn't say the average film is a 5, though. I would say the average film's like a 7.
Really? I think average film's a 6.
Well, I suppose literally it is a 5. But
yeah,
like,
if it's 5 out, films, if it's out of 10.
I suppose the films I see,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I don't see bad films on purpose. I'm sure there's loads of like absolutely terrible films, but I don't seek them out.
No, like, if I would go back, I'd probably say, we could do a review at one point of our range. I would change something. I would probably put the platform to a 5, bang on.
Bang on a 5.
I would say it's just okay. Average.
Because you actually gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, I'd probably change it to a 5.
Very good.
I'll leave it how it is.
Our best reviewed one is Gone Girl still. All 9s.
Really good.
That was such a good film.
Gone Girl was so good. Another high one was Blink. We rated Blink really highly.
Blink's a classic.
Blink's classic,
and
yeah.
Groundhog Day had a 9. Our best one is Groundhog Day. A 9, 9.5 and 9.5.
Whoa.
Who gave it the 9?
Me.
Sean.
What? What?
My lord.
Tomas, I would probably change over. I would put. We should redo the ratings. I would give Gone Girl 9.5 and then Groundhog Day 9. But
damn, wow. Wait, I can start giving it tens.
Yeah, I've never done a 10.
I'm excited for someone to get a 10. Someone goes like,
I would give it. I wouldn't give any films a 10 yet. That's like best films.
None of the ones that have been probably, but like, if we did something like. Back to Future 1,
only film you can give a 10 realistically is the best, your favourite film ever, because that is the best film. 10 is the best.
Well, I've got several films on my Letterboxd, the movie review app. I have loads of films that I've rated 5 out of 5.
Fair.
So that if we ever do any of them, then I'll be happy to give them a 10 out of 10, more than happy.
Okay.
And that's my guarantee.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Is that going to do it for our first half, or you want to our review segment?
I've got nothing else to say.
I have nothing to add.
We'll see you guys after a quick old break, and see you soon. Okay, guys, we're back. I'm going to do some listener questions that we've got. This one comes from Alana. Thank you, Alana.
Thanks, Alana.
What is your favourite family memory, either together or just in general? But, like, we'll do together.
Yeah.
Right, well, I can know mine straight off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say my favourite family memory is probably Christmas when we were younger, going to Aunt Gina's house. I remember we would go on Christmas Day because then we would always good times because we would always get presents at our house. Just the day, Christmas Day. And obviously, Christmas, I don't know, everyone's favourite day is Christmas. But especially when we're at that period when we were children, because we get the presents in the morning, we go to Aunt Gina's, we get more presents, we play games, and we'd eat dinner. And I just remember, like, we're all in the living room. There's quite a lot of us as well, crammed in the living room. It felt very family-esque.
Homely. Yeah. Cute.
One of my favorite, like, I really like all the little, like, in jokes and stuff that we do. Like, one that I always think of is the one where, so once we went to Disney.
Oh, me.
I knew that one was coming. I was going to say barbecue.
And then Craig, we were going to get the barbecue crisps, we call them Lay's.
It's not candy floss.
No, candy floss. It was both of them.
Yeah, but you said they're like, can I have some barbecue crisps? Like, we don't have any. Or like, no, you can't. And then we're sitting at Disneyland, and then you're like, that's the only reason I came. Like, for what, like, one, you had any choice if you're going to come or not. And then two, like, that is, like, so you go to Disneyland, you're like, oh, wait, I was up on this whole trip, thousands of pounds to go to Disneyland so I can get some crisps.
That's what I think about it. That's probably the most bright thing I've ever said, man.
And it's like, like I said, whenever we like, bring that up, we're like, it's the reason I came.
You know when like you say something straight away and like you immediately realise that you regret, but you have to stick by your guns because you know you're just gonna get slagged by it.
But no, but and then actually later on that same day you're like, candy floss is the only reason I came. I feel like mum and dad thought it was so funny at the time, yeah. But we probably didn't register it. But it is so funny thinking back on it now.
Funny, yeah. Yeah, it's really funny.
Oh man, that's so funny.
Just a wee kid, eh?
Well, I like the one where like mum is sitting telling a story, and then she'll just go on like in an absolute tangent, and then we're like, what is this story about?
Nothing. I like the one where we were driving to France and mum was sick at the end of the street. We got to the end of our street and our mum was sick because she was so nervous about the journey.
So. Absolute classic. Yeah. Or like it's just really funny. I think Boy Jacques Cloud, that's very funny. Louise
that's still on the door.
Louise tried to write boys not allowed on her door, but she wrote Boy Jacques Cloud. It still says that on the door now.
Classic.
I also remember when Louise you tried to jump at the car.
Oh my god.
And Sean had to grab you and I had to grab Sean.
We're driving on the motorway, yeah. And Louise decides it's a good time to open the door and just like try to jump out the door.
It felt like you know Harry Potter when the yeah, car yeah. And yeah.
Oh jeez, yeah, what was happening car. That day?
You're just done with it. You're like, you know what, guy? That's me.
Pretty severe.
I'm clocking out.
So catch you guys later.
Aww.
You're just like LeBeef in that film. You're like, that's me out, guys. See you later.
See you.
Left. LeBeef.
Oh.
It's me, Louise.
Louise.
All right, sorry guys, see you later. We're like, what? Just like, out the door. Oops.
Sorry about that. That would have been a stressful time for everyone.
And also, absolute classic. Now, I was too young, but what I heard about Aftershot is when you went missing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, in France.
When I just like walked off in France and then ended up back. You guys went back to the caravan and then I was just sitting there like, what's up?
But it turns out it happened just after someone had gone missing around like our area. So that's why mum and dad were like even more panicky because they'd had that fresh in their head.
Like, that's it. Sean's dead. I just walked away to do my own. I was like, yep, I'm gonna go and explore, guys. See you later. But I'm like seven.
Remember you left me in France by myself once?
Me?
Yeah, me and you, Sean, were out of cycle and you decided to trick me and cycle the other way and tell me you were going the other way. I went the opposite way from you, and I was left in by myself in France, and I was only like really young.
Oh no, that's bad.
No,
I was
good.
Talking to my other on another podcast. I talked about how I used to trade. I don't know if you heard this, but I would give you 2p for pound coins.
Oh yeah. That's such a good deal.
But then later on, like 5 years later, I came back and put a tenner in your piggy bank. Did you know that?
Did you?
Yeah.
Were you feeling bad?
Yeah. Like, obviously, I wasn't still doing it. I just remembered it. I was like, yeah, it's probably a bad move.
I remember as well, Sean, that I would all the money I get, I'd hid it in a drawer, and you stole it.
That is absolutely not the case. I was not stealing money out of your drawer.
You stole the money. I know it was you. It was you or it was mum, and I'm sure it was you.
Oh, it probably wasn't mum, but it definitely wasn't. It wasn't me. I wasn't stealing money from you.
It wasn't much.
I had my own money.
It wasn't much. It was loose change. I wasn't absolutely rolling in it. It was loose change. And
wait, when was this?
Like, when it must have been about 8, 9.
Oh, right. You were young.
Yeah, I was young. Loose change though, it was absolutely heartbroken.
Yeah, because back in that day, it was like you have like 2p and you're like, that's me.
You know how we used to go to that like corner shop beside our school? And I never even thought, but apparently he used to be really weird with us, according to dad, and I never even realised until now.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Willie's it's called.
Yeah. Mad.
I don't remember that, to be honest.
I was probably too young.
I was just a wee cool guy, so I don't remember that. I was just a wee sound guy. People just giving me fist bumps and that, like, yeah, you're so cool, my guy.
I remember Uncle John used to, because he was always on that same road, and if he ever saw you, he'd always give you money, so you get like a pound, and you go in the shop and buy something with it. It's fun.
Absolute legend. Give me a pound coin every time you saw him.
No, back when you were a kid, though, that was like, yes.
That's big bucks.
Yeah.
I was making buku bucks. He probably kept like a whole wallet full of pound coins just for that. No, but that, those are some good childhood memories. You got any, Louise?
Well, it just are so many. You've said a lot of them. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Centre Parks recently was a fab time.
That was fun.
That's one I'll never forget.
I'll never forget. It's something like the modern ones where we go out for like a meal as a family are nice because I kind of savour them more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I quite enjoyed we went, where did we go? I can't remember what restaurant it was now. Sorry, guys.
I remember once we went to that Kubla Khan's or whatever it's called. In,
yeah, that was really good.
Near the ocean terminal.
I was just thinking about that and we had crocodile.
That was Danielle's graduation
shark.
Or something.
Yeah, shark as well. Kangaroo.
You got all that weird kind of food and I was like, eating everything. I was like, I'm going to be able to say I've done all this now. Turns out it doesn't really come up much, but
I actually still do to this day. Whenever anyone tries to say they eat your food, I was like, well, I like shark and I ate kangaroo and I ate all this other stuff. So.
Crocodile?
Yeah, so I'm cooler than you.
Yeah.
On my level, nerd.
I think it's shark.
And you slap them.
Whoa.
And you slap them and go, that's it. Yeah, that's get right. Get back in your place, trash.
Trash.
Another reference to the old bloody film, eh?
I'm excited to come back. Actually, it's going to be annoying though, like. Just because as soon as I finished the exam, my work started, and I wish I like had more time. I would have went home.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to meet up again. So, got another question. This one comes in from Poppy. Thank you, Poppy.
Thank you, Poppy.
Guest on the podcast on episode 7, Ghost.
Yeah. First and only guest.
Was it 7?
No, second guest. No, we had 2 guests.
She was our first.
Yeah, Pop was the first, and we had 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a LAN after that.
Yeah.
We got another guest in the works as well.
In the books.
Mm-hmm. In the books. In our ledger. So the next question from Poppy is: would you like a pet ever in your future? And if so, what would you like? Yes. So obviously we all know this, but we never had a pet really growing up.
We had a small hamster.
A hamster called Ellen, but that's not really like I had 5 dogs growing up, and I was like, well, actually, yeah. I had a little hamster that I never touched before.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
So who's the real winner?
I know.
Right?
I've always wanted
a doggy.
A big dog, like Jake. Oh. Like a big one. A big hairy dog like Jake, and I would call it Chewy, and it'd be like my side partner for everything. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Don't know why. I've always just wanted a really big dog.
You get it to sit next to you in the car.
Yeah.
You say, Chewy, punch it.
I just always wanted a big dog.
Horn.
Like, they're just so cute, and they're like they're so close to like they're almost at the same size as you, so it's just nice. It's just like tell my dog.
I think I would want a dog as well. I talk about having a dog all the time with Poppy. We're keen to get a dog some point soon in the future.
Yeah.
But are you allowed it in your?
No, we'd have to move somewhere else. But like, I'm keen.
Fair.
Yeah, I think his death will.
Because I feel like I used to be like kind of nervous around dogs and not know what to do. I think we all were kind of to an extent.
We're more young,
yeah, just because we didn't have like them around.
Yeah, we were used to it.
Yeah. Now we got a lot of dogs.
Well, I just part of I got attacked by that dog, but
yeah, I remember that. And you're sitting in your sausage roll.
And then I was like, "Mom, I'm just gonna throw it." She's like, "Don't throw it!"
Like it's a grenade.
Don't do it. I'm getting chased off a greyhound. The greyhound came up for us as roll. I decided the best thing to do was to run away from the fastest dog on the planet.
And obviously you're faster than it, so
it just jogged and caught up with me again.
I remember I was there, but like yeah. I remember I was sitting at like a different bench or something, so I was just watching it all unfold.
Jumped on my chest, like clawed my chest. Well, it's scary.
That wasn't clawing your chest; it was just trying to say hi to you. But yeah, like, obviously you don't know that.
It was trying to get my sausage roll.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And I remember the owner of my drummer was just like, "Oh, she's not normally like this."
Yeah. It's like, oh, cheers.
That's cool. That doesn't really resolve the situation.
It's not normally like it. Oh, well, this person wouldn't normally kill someone. Oh, well, they still did it, though, didn't they?
Oh,
yeah, and I think like being interacting with dogs, like at Robert's house or whatever, I would like pet his dogs and be like, mm-hmm. Again, you learn how to like pet dogs and stuff.
Yeah, and obviously now we've got Antuna and Mitzi.
Mitzi as well. Yeah, that's another example of like dogs I've interacted with. But like, it'd be nice to have my own dog and just be like, just my wee guy. I'd be curious, like, if me and Poppy got a dog, like, who would be? Because obviously, every dog has like a primary carer.
Yeah.
And like the one it looks to for like, what do I do?
It depends on like who's there more.
Sean, you would get a rescue dog or a puppy?
I don't know. I'd have to see if I could get. Poppy does look at like shelters and stuff quite a lot, but obviously they're down in the south of England, so it would require like driving down there. So I'd have to get a car first. But
I'll take you. Fine.
A wee cute wee doggy.
If I would like to get a rescue dog, but I'd like to get a rescue dog puppy because I'd like to see the dog grow.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that you get a rescue dog puppy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's been abandoned in the street.
They get snatched up real quick.
Yeah.
It's expensive to have a puppy as well, because you have to, like...
Train it
and that, and vaccines and that. But I don't know how it really works.
I think I would like a dog too, but I really want a chinchilla. And fun fact, Craig tried to buy me one twice without telling mum and dad.
I went into the shop and they asked them for it and they checked, they phoned all the stores and that to see if they could get it. I'd really buy it.
Mum and dad actually would have killed you if you'd done that.
Nah, get that. It was for Louise's 16th, was it? Your 16th.
Yeah, but like, they live for like 5 years. So she's like, what's she going to do? Like, what if she moves
out? No, they're tiny.
What if she goes to halls? You can't take like with her.
Craig, they're not that tiny. They're like rabbits.
Yeah.
I still would have done it. It would have been funny.
They're cute, though.
Nah, and then, because I was, if worse came to worse, like, I would have just taken it. You know what I mean? I would have.
Wait, you're not allowed to have pets in your flat either.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have worked it out. No, I would have kept them also there, and if I had to sell it, I would sell it. Someone would buy it.
No, you couldn't do that. Anyway, it was a good decision at the time, but it's kind of maybe a blessing in disguise that it didn't work out.
I just like taking those risks. It would have been funny.
Absolute maniac.
She's a maniac.
Maniac on the floor.
Why are you singing so slow? Freaking
me out. I was singing normal pace.
You weren't on mine.
Really?
Yeah. Craig, what's your question?
Right, guys, my question for today is, right, so you can only have one form of takeaway for the rest of your life. What takeaway are you getting?
Chinese.
I don't know. Wait, are we including fast food?
If I live in... we'll just say first, you have to choose between Indian, Italian, or... Chinese, you pick
or chippy.
One to live. Or chippy. There's nothing not going to be chippy, though.
No.
Italian.
Really?
If I lived in Dalkeith, I would say Italian.
Yeah, get a Cavaliere all the time.
A Cavaliere.
Oh, but a Chinese is good, though. Nah, I would get a Chinese, but only because... Oh, is Mum again?
Ask Mum the question.
Mum, what are you saying?
Ask Mum the question.
Right, what was... Right, Mum, what...
So chippies?
What if you could only eat one meal, one takeaway for the rest of your life, what would it be out of? A chippy, Indian, Chinese, or Italian?
Indian, I think.
Really?
Yes.
See,
every single day? You have to have it every day.
I have a reason, though. Yeah, not every day, Louise. It's just if you want a takeaway, that's what you have to get.
Oh, no, it's just if you want a takeaway, you don't need to eat it every day. So you choose Indian. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mum chose Indian.
More classic karma.
Yeah.
Right,
but
I have a logic for mine because, like, it's a lot easier to acquire, like, pizzas and pastas and Indian food.
Hello.
Right, okay, we'll just wait for it, right, we'll wait. Hello, Mum.
Right, they said hello. Mum. Okay. Oh, no. Right, sorry, Craig, you continue.
Right, because it's a lot easier in supermarkets than that to get, like, pizzas and pastas and, like, Indian food, like, curries and that.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose. So in this scenario, you're still able to get
from other shops.
So you can still go to Morrison's and make your own pizza.
Yeah. Just not just order a takeaway.
Yeah, then probably an Italian.
I would get Chinese, yeah.
Because I could not make spring rolls. Or...
Wait, I don't really get what's going on. Oh, right, so you mean you can still go and get Italian as well as having a Chinese takeaway?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I would do Chinese still then, yeah.
If you incorporated, like, takeaways, like takeaway, like, stores, I would probably say KFC.
Really?
Like, yeah. So,
if it's just stores and not if you ignore Chinese and all that stuff from the equation, if it's just shops, I would say either Five Guys or KFC.
Ooh,
KFC.
That's a tricky one. I think McDonald's.
That's true. Actually, I didn't consider that. Because I work there.
You actually work there. Because
I work there. That's where I make my money.
I've got a question.
Okay, this one comes in from Louise.
I think we may have done this before, but here we go. You know, and if you're in prison and you're about to get killed.
Yep.
What would your final meal be?
Oh my god. That's It'd be like an absolute hefty Chinese, like a £50 Chinese. Really? No, I wouldn't. I take it back. It would be, I get a chicken and sweet corn pizza, 12 inch, spaghetti carbonara.
Mm.
I would bake that into a big calzone, so it's chicken sweet corn pizza stuffed with carbonara. Oh, and eat that. It's probably like 5,000 calories, but
you're gonna die anyway.
I'm not gonna put in any weight, so it doesn't matter.
Right, this is exactly what I get. I get Domino's meat feast pizza with cheesy stuffed crust, and then with a garlic dip, just pour it on top of it, as much garlic sauce from the garlic dip as you can. Then on top of that,
when you guys get a pizza, do you normally get a big pot as well? Like, you get a Domino's, you order a big pot separately.
No, because I have Evan's small ones, so I have two small ones.
I also do that. I have two small ones, but the other day I also ordered a big one as well.
The big one is good though, so then when you dip it in, it tons goes on your slice.
You fit the whole pizza slice in that box, in that little guy.
But then I do that, and then on top of that, I'd put Chinese fried rice with sweet chili chicken on top of that. Then on top of that, I get a KFC boneless bucket, put that on top, and then on top of that, to top it off, there'd be 5 zinger stackers all in a circle.
Great. And then a cherry on top. You're going to kill yourself from the food.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would rather die of a heart attack than die of an electric chair or whatever.
Yeah true. I was just thinking spaghetti bolognese, but now I think I need to go into more debt.
It's your last meal, you got to go all out.
Yeah, I suppose. I was thinking I'd get
a sausage roll or something.
Yeah.
I've been to sausage rolls.
I don't know then.
I was just thinking a cheese sandwich.
Maybe then a big, massive feast. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just get everything from the chicken? Can I just have one of everything, please, sir?
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what?
What?
I'm having a Five Guys tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty excited.
So am I. I've decided. I'm not having a takeaway this week.
Neither.
We'll talk about that. Well, that leads us quite nicely into our catch-up segment. So this week, I've been fortunate enough to order myself. Because remember when I finished my exams, like, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, 2.5 weeks ago, I ordered that giant cookie.
Yeah.
And it arrived. It arrived.
Finally.
I've eaten about a third of it already. It's really good, but I felt so horrible last night.
Really?
You could have went for a run after.
I could have went for a run, but it was cold and wet.
And you would have had a stitch.
I had a stitch because I was full of cookie, and I woke up this morning and I felt very ill, and also ate a raw pancake, so that was why I felt ill.
Why did you eat a raw pancake?
By accident.
It was too thick. By accident. I ate a bit of it raw and I put the rest of it back on.
I've never had raw pancakes.
I rustled up some pancakes on my very own self. This week I did a bit of bacon as well. I made some brownies that I put caramel M&Ms and marshmallows in.
Oh, nice. Stunning.
They were fudge brownies as well, so like they were gooey. They were good.
Like
this week I also did I've recorded my other podcast. We did an episode because this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. So we did an episode on mental health and mental positivity and stuff.
Yeah,
I absolutely bare my soul in that episode, so maybe give it a listen if you want.
Ooh.
It's quite good. I had quite well to say so myself.
It was amazing.
It was actually amazing. And obviously, just a quick here, guys. So obviously, at the start we did talk about the giveaway. So I'll say again, the giveaway is for the Swanson chat room. So if you want to win £25 Amazon voucher, you can do three. You need to do three things to get in with a chance of it. You need to do one, rate the podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Two, review attached to that rating. And three, email the podcast with a talking point or some suggestions of films.
Bam.
And if you are interested,
you will get £25 Amazon voucher, and you'll be able to meet DJ Khaled.
That's to be decided so far. That's a soft meet.
It's not confirmed.
Unconfirmed as of yet, but that's what we're aiming for. If you guys are interested, if that sounds good to you, but you're like, I really want, what if you're like, I want some Amazon stuff, but I also really want a takeaway now because we're talking about it. That brings me on to my another point. If you want to win a chance of winning a £25 takeaway absolutely for free, you can do exactly the same steps, but with my other podcasts, all you do is chat. If you want to find out about that, head over to Instagram. All you do is chat, and there's a link on there and a post to tell you all about it.
Yes, I.
One to the two, to the two, to the three. It's Craig here. Craig the Bumblebee.
Nice.
So, yeah, this week I haven't really done much at all. I've just been staring at the wall.
You just finished the last podcast, just sort of staring at a wall until the next one starts again.
That's pretty much exactly what I do. I've been just chilling at Max, and, you know.
Chilling like a villain.
Shooting some b-ball outside of the school.
Yep. At least you've been going to walk
Poppy. Yeah, walk her like she's a dog.
Yeah, you walk the dog, Poppy.
No, I do walk her up to work on occasion. Pretty fun. Get a bit outside time, but it's just I'm quite keen to go back to work whenever that may be.
Mm.
Right, what about you, Craig or Louise? What have you been up to this week?
Louise, you can go if you want.
Had a lovely Chinese last weekend.
Succulent Chinese meal.
It was actually quite good, but like isn't ever as good as the classic Your Kitchen. Sure. Made some more brownies and delivered them to Chloe and Ivan's houses.
That's cool.
Been working. Well, not working, doing college work.
Working 9 to 5. Yeah. What way to make a living?
Working 9 to 5.
What a way to make a living. Sorry, right.
And, yeah, not much else, to be honest with you.
How's your college work getting on, Louise? Going well?
Oh my god, I've got so much left to do. But it should be okay. Everything will be alright. It'll be alright.
Very musical, right? I've got a couple more points I want to bring up real quick. First, I got this meal service, HelloFresh, not a sponsor, unfortunately.
Feel free to sponsor us, guys.
I got the £20 for 5 meals as the trial box, so I got that. And yesterday I made a burger. I don't know if you saw it.
No, but I would like a burger.
A burger. I made a apple and pork burger. It was beautiful.
So good.
With some wedges. Very nice. I made that, rustled that up yesterday. I've got 4 more meals to cook. Looking, quite enjoying doing some cooking.
Mm-hmm.
This week I also watched, on Netflix, this French show. It's called Into the Night. It's about if the sun touches you, you die. So people have to get in a plane and outrun the dawn. So it's called Into the Night because they're going into the night.
Could you just stay inside?
Yeah.
Good. But you can't because the sun, there's something to the atoms in the air. So something like, I can't remember. They do justify it, but I don't remember. It's all in French. It's quite good.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't speak French, so you watch it with subtitles. But how
would they be able to refuel?
Because they just land at airports. Like, the planes are faster than the
all right. The date. Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
And they land at nighttime.
Yes, it's nighttime all the time. It's absolute drama all the time, guys. You wouldn't believe it.
Jeez.
They've got racists. They've got non-racists. That's everyone. That's it. They've got everyone. That covers everyone.
Wow, what a variety.
What an absolute variety.
Wait.
I've got a question for you guys quickly. Have any of you considered starting the shows that I got you for Christmas 5 months ago?
I do not have the time yet.
As soon as you say come to work, I'm starting it, Sean.
As soon as my
college stuff is over, I will start it.
How about guys as well, if you want to send in some suggestions for something I should watch, I'd be keen for it. Please do.
Sean, the suggestion I'll give you to watch will be...
You should really start like think about what you're gonna say before you just start.
Have you watched Happy, Sean?
Happy? No, I've not.
It's on Netflix. It's all right.
It's quite wacky. You're not really selling it to me, Craig.
It's quite wacky. Do you want me to describe it to you or just leave it in the abyss?
That's fine. Leave it in the abyss.
It's quite wacky.
I might watch it.
Wait, sure. I never
think about what I'm going to say because then I come up with spontaneous amazingness. Right, what do I do this week? This week.
Yeah, but like in that case, you're like trying to give me a suggestion, but then you just absolutely just set yourself up for nothing.
Right. So we did. I had some exams due. I had exams and coursework done. So I had exam Monday. That went pretty well, you know, because it's online, so. It's quite. You had the old Google to help if you were stuck or anything.
Aye.
I mean, I'm not cheating. Yeah, it was essay writing. Don't worry, guys. I wasn't really cheating. I was just, you know, for facts. Like, if I need up to date on some facts.
Facts and knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then the next day, I had to submit my elective work, which was review a film and link it to a mental health subject. So I picked Shutter Island and I linked it to recovery of mental health, but I only based it off three scenes. Really, the three scenes were which focuses on the main doctor, because he has a monologue about recovery at one point, and then later on, obviously, right at the end of the film. If you listen to a review, guys, you'll know the story for that.
You know all about it.
So then after that, not that much, to be fair. We go on runs every couple of days sometimes, been watching the Clone Wars. We've got four episodes left. I'm finished.
Oh, that's the last four are the absolute best by far.
Yeah, I've been told to watch it all one go, so I'm saving it so I can just binge like a film.
It's actually so good. Highly recommend it.
And that's pretty much it, guys. Because now my exams are done, I've got a wee bit of free time, so I'm quite excited just to chill for a wee while.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest with you.
Nice. Wish I was you.
Right.
How long have you got left, Louise?
I think till the end of this month.
Cool.
But I got a lot to do, so I've got to get a move on.
Got a lot to do. Right, Craig, you going to do the socials?
Right, guys, so remember to send your questions, comments, criticisms, praises to the email at swansonchatroom@outlook.com. And remember, guys, you can also hit us up on
It's not that, Craig. It's
swansonpodcast@outlook.com.
No.
Yeah, it is that, yeah. swansonpodcast@outlook.com.
Yeah, so remember, guys, you can drop those requests in. And also, maybe send in the proof that you've reviewed and rated our podcast. I don't know. Maybe get that sweet, sweet reward. Also, you can also hit us on our Instagram, which is swanson_chat.
swanson_chatroom.
Chatroom. and our Twitter, which is swanson_chat.
Yeah.
So remember, guys, hit us up on all them, please. We love to hear just anything from our fans, our audiences. We're trying to grow as much as we can. Tell your friends, tell everyone that you can. You know, the more ratings we get, we know we're doing something right. We know we're going to do something right. We're going to keep making more and more and more and more and more. Do you want more of this?
More, 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 more.
If you want more of this, guys, you've got to be liking it. You've got to be rating it highly.
I agree. Exactly.
I'm not pressuring you, but if you don't do it, maybe I'll just have to leave a bad review on a good film. How about that? No one wants our Lost in Translation, guys, but it can happen.
Right. Yeah, a lot of pushback from that, Craig. Everyone was
outraged.
Up in arms.
And with the torches out, the flaming
torches.
We're
death threats coming through.
Exactly.
We'll stick by it.
Shut down.
The man's trying to shut us down, but we won't stop. Yep, cool. So, Louise, you want to play us out with our film next time?
Yes. So, next week, I'm doing a film that came out not too long ago, a few years ago, and it is the film Dunkirk.
Dunkirk! Oh, yes, I've seen it. It's good. I saw it in the cinema.
Yeah, I saw it in the cinema too.
I'm a keen bean. I'm down.
I can't really remember what happens in it, but like obviously it's about the Dunkirk stuff, so yeah, it's exciting.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Right, guys, remember to be checking out on Netflix, all the viewers as well.
That is exciting, guys. I'm very excited. I can't wait. So too. Right. That's gonna do it this week, guys. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Guys. Peace out.
Bye.
Peace.
And in case you don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Bye.